have found that helps me the most when I'm studying or reading or absorbing passages of scripture, particularly when I want to start to project a little bit about how would that feel? What would that be like? If I were there, how would I react? And I imagine myself in some of those situations. And I want you to do that for just a few seconds right now. There's a fishing scene. It's a ginormous lake. And it happens, of course, a couple thousand years ago, but that's irrelevant. Just put yourself there on a beautiful lake, and it's wonderful and peaceful and enjoyable. And we're going to look at the story from Luke chapter 5. Sometimes we have some setbacks in life. I don't know about you, but I've had a share of them, and they always, always lead us to great comebacks. Amen? God loves doing that. Because we live on a broken planet, none of us are exempt from problems or tests or difficulties, losses, failures, mistakes, setbacks. There are all kinds of setbacks. You can have them in almost every area of life. Somebody here might be experiencing one right now. And they're not encouraging. They leave you a little discouraged until we begin to get perspective. God always has in that process a journey he's taking us on, so that there can be great victory where he gets glory. It could be a financial setback, could be a health setback, a career setback, could be a relational setback. It could be a bad scene in the marriage or in a relationship with a boyfriend or a girlfriend, maybe in plans or dreams that you've had. We have setback, and then we have victory. Then we have another season, another setback. And during this, we're going to look at how God helps his people throughout the scripture, no matter how many setbacks, no matter where and how they occur, how they're applied in our lives, no matter what we experience in life, how the faithful God is able to get us through them into victory. So tonight we want to look at what to do when you've had that happen in your everyday realm of just doing life, just trying to get through life every single day. Maybe you've had a bankruptcy, financial setback. It's really turns you upside down. Or maybe it happened as an employee, or maybe as an employer. And maybe you say, well, I don't own a business, but somewhere along the line, you had to work for one, right? Or for yourself. So we're going to draw some principles out of this story, and they apply across the board, whether we have a business, work for a business, work for ourselves, don't work at all. These principles apply totally across the line, no matter who we are. There's some professional fishermen in this story, and they were failing miserably in that moment until they listened to and turned to Jesus. Amen? Now, I don't know how many are professional fishermen here. I doubt anybody in the room is. But perhaps many of you have gone fishing. Any of you ever gone fishing? You enjoy that? Well, these lessons apply no matter who we are. Growing up, I used to fish in the state reservoirs. They allowed that back in my home state. And we used to enjoy a lot of wonderful and peaceful times out on those reservoirs. They were beautiful. They were well-kept and well-stocked. And we had a lot of fun Saturdays fishing on those lakes. Fished in Long Island Sound. My dad was part owner of a very large vessel. And we would take off and go out into the middle of Long Island Sound and fish for all kinds of stuff. I mean, they were big fish we reeled in. And I always loved being on that boat whenever we'd go out with several of his business partners. And whereas you could go from the aft deck down through the belly of that vessel where there was a kitchen and some sleeping quarters and then get up to the very front of that vessel, I always just liked to go along the side of the vessel on that little plank and just hang on to the side while the boat was rocking all over the place and going through the water, because it was just a lot of fun doing that. A little daredevil, right? Fished in the Gulf of Mexico many, many days, many, many hours. Had a lot of fun doing that. So tonight we're going to take a look at the greatest fish story of all time. You've heard a lot of fish stories, right? In this series, we're going to look at setbacks and comebacks and principles and lessons we can all learn. So whether it's your job, your career, your business, your family, if you felt like, man, I don't seem to be getting anywhere. Everything just seems to be piling up and nothing seems to be breaking through. Have you ever felt fatigued? Anybody ever felt fatigued, worn out? You put your heart and soul into something, and you worked and worked and worked, and then it just kind of blew up in your face. Anybody ever have any of those kinds of moments? Well, you picked a good night to be in church. And this miracle is going to give us some great lessons whenever we've had a setback in life. Now, none of the fishing miracles that you've ever heard of in your lifetime can match this one. And you've heard some big old fish stories in your life, but none of them can match this miracle. It's the second miracle of Jesus. It happens extremely early in his ministry. He's only actually done one recorded miracle prior to this, which he turned the water into wine at the wedding of Cana. And we're going to look at this one. It happened on the Lake of Galilee, or the Sea of Galilee. It's a miracle because it's where he actually calls his first four disciples to come and follow him. Let me give you some background. Peter and Andrew are brothers. James and John are brothers. And these four guys have a fishing business together in northern Israel around the beautiful lake called Galilee. That's called the Lake of Galilee, the Sea of Galilee, because it's a pretty large body of water. It's called Lake Gennesaret. It's called the Sea of Tiberias. It's got three different names for the same beautiful lake. It was the Lake Tahoe of northern Israel. Okay. Now, at this point, you catch up on the story. There's Peter, James, John, and Andrew. They're not disciples of Jesus as yet. They haven't responded to any kind of a call. They're just professional businessmen, fishermen. They make their living catching fish. And they've been out all night fishing on the Sea of Galilee, and they've caught nothing, nada, zip. And the lake is in recession, okay? Nobody's biting right now. They're going through tough times in the business, and nothing is biting, and they're making no profit. They've worked hard. They come ashore in the morning after about 10 hours at night. They're cleaning their nets, nothing to show for it. They're discouraged. They've got empty buckets. And some of you can relate to that. You've worked hard. You've put all the time in. And Jesus comes along, and he's talking to a crowd of people. People want to listen to what he has to say. So as the crowd gets larger, he asks one of these guys, "Can I use one of your boats as a platform to speak from?" And you pick up the story in Luke 5, and you get out your message notes. Here's what it says. One day, as Jesus was standing by the Lake of Gennesaret, that's the Sea of Galilee, with the people crowded around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. Now he gets into one of the boats, and the one belonging to Simon, that's Peter, and he asks him to put out a little further from the shore, and he sits down and he taught the people from the boat, sitting in the boat. Now, why in the world would Jesus borrow a boat? Well, he's got an ulterior motive, number one, because he knows he's going to be going fishing for Peter and John and the other two in just a few moments. And he wants to work with them and identify with them. But bigger than that is his first motive. Water amplifies your voice. Now, if you've been around water, you know that's what happens, right? If you've been out in the boat and you speak much further across a body of water than you can if you're just on the sandy beach, because the ground absorbs the sound waves, whereas the water allows them to bounce and to be magnified. So it's just smart communication. He gets out a little ways from the shore so his voice can carry, because it's a big crowd. They don't have microphones. They don't have speaker systems. He can speak now to hundreds of people, perhaps even 1,000 people on the shore, listening to him as the water amplifies his voice. Well, he made all this stuff. He knows how it all works. There are actually a couple more important reasons. He's about to choose these four guys as his first disciples and ask them to leave their business and come and follow him. So he's got a plan to do a miracle in their work, a miracle that they can comprehend and relate to. They're fishermen. A miracle of fish for a bunch of fishermen. So in verse 4 it says, "When Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Now launch out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch.'" Now remember, they'd fished all night. That's the context. These are professionals. These are not guys who decide, you know, they're kind of like motorcycle riders that are fair weather riders. They only go out when it's a perfect day. Versus motorcycle riders, they don't care if it's snowing, raining, ice, and whatever. They're out on their motorcycle because they just love riding. We've ridden in hailstorms and all kinds of stuff. It's crazy when you're doing that, but we've done it. But these were professionals. They weren't just out fishing on a weekend for fun. They fished for life, business. And Simon, hey, master, we've worked all night and we haven't caught anything, nothing. We haven't made a sale. We haven't closed the deal. We haven't sold a house. We haven't won a game. We haven't stepped up our game. We haven't signed a contract. In fact, I got nothing to show for all my investment. We fished all night. We caught nothing. You can hear the discouragement in just the way he makes the statement to Jesus. Now, sometimes that happens in life. You're given everything you've got, your best shot, and you come up 10 feet short. That's horrible. I remember how many times you really call it an air ball. You think, man, I've got a shot. I've got a look right here. And you go up for the shot, and you launch, and it falls. It doesn't even hit the rim. And you go, man, wow. I did everything mechanically I knew to do, and it totally failed. Sometimes you work hard, you work diligently, you work long, and you have end of the day, nothing, zero. We've worked all night and caught nothing, was his statement. Sometimes you do that and you think you've done the right thing at work, in your career, in the decision-making process related to some important matters in your life, and you even believe God is leading you to do it, and it just doesn't pan out. You've had a setback. And we're going to look at some of those and how they affect us in the church and what the early church looked like and how they were able to process that kind of thing. So, you know, you want to start a business and it doesn't fly, doesn't make a profit. You find yourself in debt because a lot of businesses, startups, don't make it. They fail. So all those things that you think that God's led you into, it just doesn't seem to coagulate, come together. You know, sometimes you hang in there with the marriage and you struggle to get counsel, you read books, you try to make something work, but the improvement seems to be negligible. It doesn't seem to get any better. Listen, this miracle has a lot to teach us about what to do when we've had a setback, no matter what you do in life or what the relationships are in life, because everybody is fishing for something. Right? Sometimes you're fishing for approval. If I go do that, somebody will approve what I'm doing. Fishing for someone to just love you. Fishing for significance. Yeah. It's amazing how many things people start fishing for. Sometimes you say, I want my life to count. That's legitimate. We need to leave a legacy. Nothing wrong with that. Maybe you're fishing for a spouse, or maybe fishing for who knows what. What are you fishing for tonight? What are you looking for? Well, I'm fishing for a better job because I need a more profitable income in my life. I need a new source of income. Nothing wrong with that. Everybody's fishing for something. Well, here are these four fishermen. Jesus tells them, I'm going to engage you in something miraculous here. Okay. They not only receive a miracle, they're blessed beyond what they can handle themselves. That's how it all turns out. After a night of total discouragement, they're blessed with more than they can handle. They actually have to share their blessings with other people because the blessings are so multiplied. Wouldn't that be a great thing to have happen in your life? That not only do you get everything that you went looking for, but you've got so much you have to stand around and start giving it away because you can't manage it all, right? And their lives are changed forever. So Jesus uses Peter's boat as a platform, and he preaches good news to the crowd. A large crowd is assembled to hear him speak. And the Bible tells us then the rest of the story. It says, after Jesus finished speaking, it says to Simon, now launch out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. That's a lot of fish. So they signaled their partners, that's James and John, in the other boat to come over and help them. And they come and fill both boats so full with fish that it began to sink. That's a fish story. You're not going to top that shot. There's no way you're topping that one. None of us can top that. That's just a flat-out miracle. And here's the point. They caught more in 10 minutes than they caught in 10 hours because they did it the way Jesus told them to do it. That was the significance of what happened. That's how you turn setbacks into comebacks. It's called the miracle of acceleration. God speeds stuff up. They catch more in 10 minutes than they had in the previous 10 hours. Now, when you understand the principle of the miracle of acceleration, you don't worry then about the timing. We always fuss about the timing. Well, God, why are you waiting? Why is this process? Why is this so long? Why is this? Why? And we need to stop worrying about the timing and seek the God of acceleration. You might go a month, 2 months, a year, years without what you want having manifested. It doesn't matter because God can turn the faucet on as quickly as any has ever been turned off in your life. With one flick of his thumb, the blessings of God can become more than you can contain. He can do more in 10 minutes than we can do in 10 years if we do it the way he tells us to do it. So the first thing you need to do is what Peter and Andrew and James and John did. Write this down. I want to give Jesus complete access to everything in my life. Total sovereignty. I'm going to preach a little bit more in detail of what Jesus wants to do in all the rooms of our hearts on Sunday night. Because, my goodness, if he can get into all the rooms, the miracles will accelerate and they'll be beyond anything you've ever comprehended. But number one, give Jesus complete access to my business. Give Jesus complete access to my business. Complete access. Total. Okay? Whatever your business is. Your business is raising your kids. If it's your marriage. If it's the work that you do with your hands. If it's the work what you do with your skill sets and your talents. Whatever the business is of life that you happen to be in. Give him complete access to my business. So if you want to go from emptiness to overflowing, it says in Luke 5 and 3, Jesus got into one of the boats. That was the one that belonged to Peter. And he asked him to pull it out a bit from the shore. And he sat down and he starts teaching the crowd from the boat. So the thing that you need to all do and I need to do under that first number one, I must get Jesus in my boat. Okay? I need to get Jesus in my boat. Pretty simple, but profound and sometimes difficult because we get stubborn. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that in a minute. That's the starting point in career, job, relationships. You want to move from emptiness to fullness, get Jesus in the boat. Now, notice the difference. Same lake, same boat, same nets, same fishermen, same fish. The thing that's different between nothing and overflowing abundance is Jesus is in the boat. That's what made the difference from zero to more than they could handle. Jesus was front and center in the boat. It was about Jesus. Amen? It was about his message. It's about his kingdom. That's the difference maker. Jesus is in the boat. That's the game changer. We need to have Jesus on board. Now, give him access to the relationships, access to the rooms of your heart, access to the business, access to the things you have talent to do. And don't take this attitude. This is mine. I built it myself, and I'm going to do it my way. Who gave you the gift to do what you do? Who gave you the smarts and the abilities and the talents? Who gave you the... Who gave that all to you? So God is with them. They're not fishing by themselves anymore. They're not in the career by themselves anymore. They've got Jesus involved in what it is that they're trying to achieve. Their business has got the master in control. My boat is what I do to make a living. What I do to make a living, that's my boat. Or it can be your relationship that you have and how I'm building it. The boat I'm in, let me apply that setback as a setback in life or in your business or any relationship you have. First, what's your boat? What's your boat? What is it? Your boat is how you go about life, how you build a business. It's how you make a living. It's your means of support. It's the decision-making process through the course of every single day. Simon was a fisherman, so obviously his boat was his business. You know, I worked for my dad a lot in the summers, And when my dad finally built from having worked for one corporation, first he had his own market, then he worked for a big meatpacking company, and then he built his own meatpacking company. And the first summer I went to work there, it was one of my responsibilities to help bring all the new product in and set everything up. As he was, he had three big rooms in this huge, huge building that he owned. And I remember walking into the cutting room one day, and he had his meat cutters in there. And I remember looking around at some of the beautiful knives they had. Many of them were German imports. I mean, they were precision knives. I went over and I picked one up, and I felt this big old hand go. And the cutter slapped my hand and said, "Don't you touch that." Okay? But don't ever, ever, without permission, pick up the tool of a professional meat cutter without his permission. Yes, sir. Okay, you got the knife, I don't. Whatever you say goes. I learned an important lesson. There are tools that people have of the trade. They're kind of extensions of who they are. They're not just some things that you pick up in the dime store. These were protected. They were cleaned. They were honed. They were sharpened. They were in special cases and boxes that they carried with them wherever they went. They took great pride in those things. I'm sure Peter did the same with the boat. He probably had to work a long time to buy one, to earn the right to own one. And here it is. This is his business. What's your boat? And in his business, he turns this over to Jesus. That represented the career, the vocation, the profession, the job, everything that's an extension of who you are, represents your livelihood. So what's your boat? What is it you're trying to float in relationships, in business, in decision-making? Maybe it's your salary, your commission, or your royalties. What does it mean to have Jesus in your vessel? So listen carefully. It means you dedicate your life, your career, your business, your job. It belongs to God. It's God's. Whatever we do, whatever our hand finds to do, let us do it with all our ability as unto the Lord, the scripture says. So we're not talking about salvation here. Bless you. This is after the fact. You can have Jesus in your life, but not in your boat. I said, you can have Jesus in your life, but not in your boat. Because Jesus is kind of, okay, it's Sunday. Thank you, Lord. Let's go to church together. You can have Jesus in your life, but not at your work. You may have trusted him for your salvation, and you come to church on the weekend, praise the Lord. But on Monday morning, you go back to work, and you leave Jesus at church or at home. You put him on the shelf. And he doesn't get to use your boat or your job or your talent or your abilities for ministry or for mission. To give Jesus your boat means get him in the boat. And I'm saying, I dedicate my life. You will do much better with this steering it than I will. You're a much better captain than I'll ever be. So Peter did this, and when he gave his job to Jesus to use, he gets blessed with an incredible result. Now, we normally think that God makes me really great and successful in business so that then I'll serve God because I've had success. Wrong. It's the exact opposite of that. God often uses my job or lack of it, and depending on where we are, so then later success can come because we have put him first in our life. There is no comeback without a setback. The setback is always part of God's plan, where God allows you to have to backpedal a little bit. Are you listening? The setback is a part of the plan. God intends it to enable the process to take hold, to shape us and reshape us. And that, by the way, that process is never going to stop. You're going to have seasons of that throughout the remainder of your days. Peter fished all night, caught nothing. Now he's got to go from nothing to abundance. But first, Jesus has to have the platform. Jesus gets to use his work, his job, his sources to speak to other people. That's the order of success. It's not, God, you make me a success, and then I'm going to serve you because then I'll have time, and then I'll have money, and then I'll be able to come to church. No, you won't. Because when that happens, you'll buy toys and you'll be gone all weekend. And if you're not going to do it now, you're not going to do it later. So you're only deceiving yourself with that kind of philosophy. Or, God, I'm failing in my job and failing at business, and it's not going the way I want it to go, but I want you to take the reins and the platform. Now, would you lead me where I need to go? Question. What do you want God to bless in your life? Is it relationships, marriage, children? Is it your family, your siblings, people that are away from the Lord in your family? What is it you want God to bless? Is it your talent, your career, your ministry, your service? What is it? Whatever that is, you put him first in that. You want God to bless your time? Give him the first part of every single day. And watch how he blesses the rest of your day. Really gotten into a good habit of getting up super early. Just that first hour, it's just him. I love that. Right. Want him to bless your week? And why aren't you in his house on the Lord's Day, starting the week off right? This is the Lord's Day on Sunday, right? So that the rest of the week can be blessed. You want God to bless your finances? Then give him the first part of your increase. That's called the tithe. Then he'll bless the rest. So you get Jesus, and then you work, and then you allow him to work through you. You say, well, I want you to use my business or my talent or my relationships, and I want to grow them. That's a platform for the good news to be spread through your life. And that's what God wants to do, flow through us so others can see him. Then we let God take care of everything and control everything, and we just get to go along and say, yahoo, this is really great. You see, really you say, I'm a marketplace missionary. What you do, what is it? Well, you say, I'm a missionary disguised as a realtor. I'm a missionary disguised as an accountant. I'm a missionary disguised as a truck driver. I'm a missionary disguised as a graphic designer. I'm a missionary disguised as a doctor or a nurse, right? Or a CEO or a teacher or a house cleaner or whatever it is that God's allowed you to do. First and foremost, I use my career as a platform for Jesus, then he blesses me in return. Because when he's first, I get blessed. So when you're in a tough spot, and we're all going to be in them, in all kinds of areas of life, and you're trying to change everything to try to figure out, how does this all come back together? Let me tell you something. These guys had fished all night long. I don't know if you've ever done the kind of fishing they did. That's hard work. With those wet nets, and they're huge, and they're big, and they're heavy. They caught nothing. They didn't change their nets. They didn't change the boat. There was no need to do either one of those things. They didn't need to change their business partners. They did not need to change their location. They didn't need to change their marriage. They just needed to get Jesus in charge of the boat. Get him on board and let him take charge and follow him. That's what was needed. Some people are trying to change everything else around them. Well, maybe I just need to move out of Sutter County. I need to move somewhere else. Maybe you just need to get Jesus in charge of your job and get him in the boat and let him lead. Knew it'd get quiet. And here's why. When you don't have him in charge, you're going to take you, with you wherever you go. And you will manifest wherever you are, unless he is in charge of the boat. Goodness, much time has gone by already? Really? We're going to go about a couple more minutes. I'm going to ask you to participate here in just a second. Number two, write this down. I admit that my efforts aren't working. Number two, I admit that my efforts aren't working. And it frustrates you. Number two, I admit that my efforts aren't working. You ever talk to yourself? I do. I've said to myself, how come that didn't work? You just gave it your best effort. You just laid it all out. You worked hard. You planned it. You executed it well. Everything you did, and it didn't work. Ever have that conversation with yourself? Yeah, I have. And you scratch your head and you go, what is that all about? Well, I need to admit that my efforts aren't working. So if I want to move from setback to comeback, that's one of the keys. I admit my efforts aren't working. When Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down your nets. Simon Peter answered, here's his confession. Master, we've worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything. Know how hard that had to be for Peter to say that? I mean, he's a pro. He's good. He's professional. He's done this most of his career. This is like snap. They're not amateurs. They're not novices. They're not weekend fishermen. They make a living doing this. They know how to do it. You know what? Sometimes even when you're a pro and you fish all night, you come up with a goose egg. Nothing. Even though you're experienced in what you do at your job, if your talent, with your capabilities, you fish all night. Nothing. It's humbling. And it's hard to say it. These guys made their living, their identity tied to their position and their work. For Peter not to catch a fish, that's like LeBron James playing an entire game and never making a basket. Really? You've been out on the court for an hour and you haven't sunk one basket? Are you kidding? It's unheard of. But sometimes our best isn't good enough. And sometimes God allows that to remind us that without him, I'll make it personal, I am nothing. Sometimes our situations are out of control. You ever have those moments and everything's just spinning out of control? It's totally insane. It's like, what is going on? No matter what I do, everything's just falling apart all around me. It seems like nothing's working today, okay? Because we can't control the economy. We can't control the weather. We can't control some of the things that affect our economy and our job and our personal profit, your business, your life, relationships, other people, and you can't control other people. You can't control diseases or the aging process. Most of the major things in life, you can't control. So what do? Well, the first two things to go from setback to comeback, you get Jesus in the boat, and two, you admit, my way is not working. We fished all night, didn't get anything. Now, why don't we want to admit that? Why is that hard for that to come out? Why do I don't want to do that? Why am I afraid to say that? Why? Two reasons. Pride. I'll make it three. Pride. That's at the top of the list. Stubbornness. I'm gonna do this. Fear. I'm afraid. I fished all night and caught nothing. I'm afraid people will think less of me. I'm afraid to get Jesus in the boat because he might take me in a direction I don't want to go. What does he takes me somewhere with a situation I don't want to be in. If I put Jesus in my job, I don't want anybody to think I'm a religious fanatic. and all I do is talk about Jesus, he might turn me into something I'm scared to death I might become. I don't want to have Jesus with me in those moments. Well, regardless of whether it's pride or it's stubbornness or it's fear, the second step simply is this, to get some comeback out of my setback, admission, what I'm doing isn't working. Career, job isn't working. That's the third step, or we're getting to get to the third step of how to turn emptiness into fullness, setbacks into comeback. And number three, I'm going to have to hold till next week because it's time for us to have a little interaction.